There in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 11, hear now the inspired, the inerrant word of the living God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord our God, we would ask this morning that you would empower the preaching of your word, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would work in our hearts, you would accomplish your purpose. We ask for the assistance, the direction of your Holy Spirit, that you would apply your word of truth to our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated. About a week before we arrived back in May of last year, Pastor Moulton had finished preaching from Hebrews, and I believe he left off in Hebrews chapter 11. And so I wanted to pick up this morning in our new series as we look at the end of the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, as you perhaps know by now, if you were there through that study, which has been some time ago, the book of Hebrews describes the great ministry and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, in its theme, describes that Christ is supreme over all things. The book of Hebrews shows us clearly that Christ is our prophet and our priest, and that as our prophet, he brings the word of God to us, and as our priest, he administers the covenant of grace. He administers a better covenant. And so as you recall, the passages there in Hebrews shows us that Christ is exalted above the angels, that he is exalted above Moses, that he is exalted above all of those under the old covenant, and that he, as the new Joshua, as the new Moses, comes to administer a better covenant, one built on better promises for us. And as we consider this Christ, who is our prophet, who brings the word of God to us, who is our priest, who ministers his grace to us, we find here in this passage, in chapter 11, this account of Sarah, who is listed in the hallmark faith. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is often described as the hallmark of faith, or people will say that it describes the heroes of faith. And I think it's important that we emulate those who have gone before us, that we look to those who are a great encouragement to us. But chapter 11 is not an account of people who did amazing things, but it is an account of people who lived by faith in the promises of God. The writer of Hebrews begins there in Hebrews chapter 11 by saying, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." For by it the elders obtained a good report. As we look at the life of Sarah, a woman of faith, we need to draw back to verses 1 and 2 to remind ourselves that he describes or defines faith as being the confidence or the assurance in things that are hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is trust, it's confidence in what we cannot see. And so he begins by reminding us here that faith is that substance, that confidence that we have in things that are hoped for. And he says that by it, by this faith, the elders obtained a good report. Who are the elders that obtained this good report? The elders that obtained this good report are all those men and women in the Old Covenant. All those in that Old Covenant age, that administration of the Old Covenant, that are the elders who obtained a good report. There are those who would not see the elders or those men and women of the Old Covenant as having entered by faith. They would not see that this report is their trust and their confidence in God. Many see a disconnection between the Old and New Testament. And I, for many years, pastored in a denomination that says, we're not an Old Testament people, we're a New Testament people. So everything's preached from the New Testament. And yet all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we don't see a disconnection as some would see, but we see one continual covenant of grace from Genesis 3:15 through the New Covenant. And so those people under the Old Covenant, those elders, those men and women of faith, obtained a good report because they trusted in things that they hoped for. They trusted in the promises of God. They saw things afar. They did not understand it all, but they trusted not in themselves, but they trusted in the promises of God. And so these elders, by it, obtained a good report. And so there in the introduction to chapter 11, he says that it's through faith that we understand that God created all things, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So he gives here a picture that faith requires us to believe that God created all things out of nothing. In fact, it is the opposite of faith to believe that God created a world and allowed it to evolve. It is vanity, it's foolishness to believe that God allowed the world to fall into some kind of evolutionary process. We believe that God created all things in the space of 6 days, and all very good. And so, it takes faith to understand the things of God. It takes faith to hope in the promises of God in the midst of great difficulty. And here, as we look at the life of Sarah, we see several things here this morning concerning Sarah. We see in verses 11 through 12 the faith of Sarah. In verses 13 through 14, we see her perseverance of faith. And in verses 15 and 16, we see the reward of that faith. As you look there in verse 11, it speaks of her faith. It says, through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Now, Sarah is mentioned there in the context of Abraham. If you go back to verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. And so by faith, Abraham went where God called him. By faith, Abraham was obedient to God. And it says also in the same way, Sarah, through faith, received strength to conceive seed. If you remember the account in Genesis chapter 12, that Sarah was told by the Lord that she would have a son in her old age. You remember how she responded? She responded the same way we would respond. Surely that's that's not true. Do you realize how old I am? And it says there in Genesis chapter 12 that Sarah laughed. She laughed for two reasons. She laughed because she did not believe that what God said was true, but she also laughed because she thought, you realize I'm an old woman? Old women do not bear children. This is impossible. But you notice here in verses 11 and 12 that there's no mention of Sarah's laughing, that there's no mention of Sarah doubting God, and yet she's listed as a woman of faith. It says there that she received strength to conceive seed. And this is an important thing to remember in this passage, that she bore a son. And it says that she was delivered of that child when she was past age, when it was physically impossible for her to bear a child. But notice what the text says. She received strength. However that played out in the life of Sarah, she received strength. She received the ability to conceive a child of the promise, one who brought the blessings of the covenant to the future generations. And so the faith that she is commended for is faith in the promise of God. Her faith did not rest on herself. Her faith did not rest in anything but the promises of God. It was faith in God. It was faith in His promises. It was faith in the faithfulness of God that enabled her to receive the benefits. It was faith that enabled her to bear that child in her old age. And it was the faithfulness of God that upheld her when she did not fully understand what was happening. And so she is mentioned here as a woman of faith. She believed in the promise of God, and she did not doubt. Even when she had laughed, and even when she did not understand what God was doing, it says here that through faith she received strength. She bore a son in her old age. And the end of the verse says, because she judged him who had promised to be faithful. And so Sarah here is listed as a woman of faith. Sarah as mentioned as one who would bring forth a son. But we see here in this passage the faith of Sarah, but we also see her perseverance, that she persevered in faith. Verse 13 and 14, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. It states here that they all died in faith, not having received the promises. The question is, who are they who died in faith? Some would maintain that it's Abel, that it's Enoch, that it's Noah. I believe that those who died in faith, particularly is speaking of Abraham and Sarah, these are the ones to whom the passage states believed the promises of God and died in faith. Not only did they die in faith, but they trusted the Lord in the midst of all of the difficulty and all of the things that seemed at odds, seemed like a great perplexing thing. They trusted in the faithfulness of God. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. But here, she, that is Sarah, is called the mother of God's people. I think this is an interesting thing to note, that we don't often think of Sarah as the mother of the faithful. And yet the scriptures show that she is. As a reward of her faith, she had strength to receive and establish a family, for she is the mother of God's people. She was persistent. She remained faithful. She persevered. And when we note here that Sarah was one who persevered in faith, that is really the message of the book of Hebrews, that God calls His people to persevere by faith. If you go back to chapter 10, at the end of chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews says there in verse 35, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish believers. It was written to those who had embraced the Christian faith. And yet in the time of Nero, and in the time of great persecution, many of them had abandoned the faith. Many of them had rejected the faith. In fact, many of them wanted to go back to the old covenant as some do today. Oh, we need the sacrifices of the old covenant. We need the rites of the temple. We need the worship of the temple. We need to go back to that. They wanted to go back to what they came from. And Hebrews warns them against falling away, calls them to enter the rest by faith in chapter 4. And when we come to the end of chapter 10, he says, "The just shall live by faith." A reference to Romans chapter 1. "But if any man draw back, if any man fall away, my soul will have no pleasure in him." The writer of Hebrews reminds them that we are not of those, and he includes himself, those who draw back unto perdition, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. In spite of the persecution, in spite of the hardship, in spite of the difficulties, they did not draw back, but they trusted in the promises of God. They believed what God said. And here we have the record of those elders who obtained that good report, because they were those who believed to the saving of their souls. They were the ones who, in spite of great hardship and difficulty, persevered in their faith. We see that not only was Sarah a woman of faith, not only did she persevere in faith, but she also received the reward of faith that is mentioned there in verses 15 and 16. Verse 14 tells us that they say such things, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And so the reward that Sarah experienced is the reward of that city, that better country, that heavenly reward. The promise of Sarah was that God Himself would give her the grace to persevere and that He would reward her faith. The reward of her faith is that pilgrim spirit that it is in all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. By faith, Sarah had power to conceive a child in her old age. She didn't see what was happening. Her faith was the evidence of things not yet seen. And yet here, the life of Sarah's faith was a faith that was built upon the promises of God, the promises of a better covenant. As Abraham's faith is rewarded, Sarah's faith is rewarded as well. Sarah became fruitful and brought forth a son. There in verse 12 it says, "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable." Here, this verse, and it on the surface is difficult perhaps to understand what the writer is speaking of, but he's talking about the faith, but he's talking about the fact that Sarah conceived seed, that she delivered a child in her old age, and this seed that she brought forth, this child that came forth, brought forth a host of people from that one child. The Abrahamic covenant supersedes normal childbearing and looks to that spiritual seed. And so verse 12 shows us that the seed of Sarah, the mother of the faithful, is the seed that brought forth a multitude of people that no one could number. And so, the Old Testament promises are not built upon physical Israel. It's not built upon physical promises. It's not built upon a physical seed. It's built upon a spiritual truth that as Sarah believed God, as Abraham believed God, so all who are the children of Abraham and Sarah by faith have the same promises, have the same hope, have the same reward of faith. And this is the message of Hebrews, that God's promise of children is the inheritance of a spiritual seed. As a reward of that faith, Sarah received strength to establish a family. She is the mother of God's people. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verses 11 through 12. Here in chapter 4 of Romans, we are given the picture of the doctrine of justification by faith that is illustrated in the life of Abraham. And in verses 11 and 12, it says this, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been circumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And here it's illustrated that in the life of Abraham, the promise was not to Abraham and to his immediate seed, but it was through the righteousness of faith to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too have received the promise that Abraham shows here in this passage. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Here Paul lays out for us the truth of the gospel. And there in verse 29, saying that there is no Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So here is what Paul lays out for us, that all who are in Christ are of that spiritual seed, heirs according to the promise. Now the question is, how is Sarah a woman of faith? It doesn't mention anything here specifically about her being a woman of faith. And yet if Abraham by faith was called to receive an inheritance and obeyed and went, and if Sarah also, as the text shows, doesn't say that Sarah by faith, but it says through faith also, Sarah received strength to conceive. So the faith of Sarah is emphasized here as the woman who is faithful, who trusts in the promises of God. Sarah left all to go with her husband. There in Genesis chapter 11, we see that as God called Abraham to go, verse 11 of chapter 12 of Genesis. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. And so here we see that Sarah went with her husband, that when her husband was called by God to go to a city he was unfamiliar with, that she too left all and went with her husband. She came to a strange land, chapter 12, verse 11. She looked to the Lord as she trusted in him to lead her, chapter 11, verse 31. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. Verse 31, Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Here we see that Sarah trusted in the Lord, that she went with her husband, that she followed him because God called her to follow. There is a verse of instruction in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. These verses describing that she, as the mother of the faithful, she as the mother of all who trust in the promises of God, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, she obeyed her husband. even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Sarah and all the faithful women of the old covenant submitted to their husbands, obeyed them, and it says she serves as the mother of all faithful daughters. We often miss those little pearls of wisdom found in the scripture, but Sarah was a woman who trusted in the Lord, placed her confidence in Him, and obeyed Him. The reason for her faith is not in herself, but the reason for her faith was because she trusted in the promises of God. But as she trusted in those promises, as she received the reward of that promise, it says that even those who die in faith desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. As Abraham and Sarah went to that foreign and strange land where the Lord led them and through her seed brought forth a generation of people, here we see that even in all of their migration, in all of the journeying that they did throughout those countries, they were looking for something far better. They weren't looking to this world as their final place, but they were looking to something beyond, that is, to a heavenly city. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Here we find that those who believe in the promises of God, who like Sarah, who like Abraham, trust in Him, will have the promised reward of eternal life. That they will have a promise of a city that is yet to come. Verse 9 says that by faith, Abraham sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And that promised seed does not come from the line of Esau. It comes from the line of Isaac and Jacob, that through that lineage, God promises that He will bring about the promised seed. And when you look at the genealogies, particularly in the Gospels, particularly Matthew, and you see that long genealogy that sometimes we stumble over, there in that genealogy we see that through the promised seed of Isaac and Jacob, that the Lord Jesus Christ came. That He who is the promised seed, it goes all the way back, is the one who gives grace and mercy to His people, and that it is in Him that we trust. It is in Him that we place our confidence. Those elders, those men and women of faith, could not receive the promise of inheritance apart from faith. We cannot receive any blessing or any promise of God apart from faith. They received their reward. They received that promise that comes from God. They, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 reminds us, that they are worthy in the day of judgment, and they will be glorified in His saints. Friends, this passage gives us much hope and much instruction this morning. Sarah shows us that as our mother, as the one who trusted in the promises of God, that we too, by faith, can rest in the promises of God. we as Westerners, I think, are so prone to live in the immediate, to live right in the present. We can't see anything beyond what is immediate. And yet for the people of faith, they trust that God will bring greater things in the future, that God will reward his faith, that God will reward our faith because we trust in his promises. This pilgrim spirit, which was the reward of Sarah's faith, is that pilgrim spirit that dominates our lives. We oftentimes look for comfort. We look for peace. We look for something in life where we're tired. We struggle. And yet when you look at the people of faith, they were people that had no personal blessing. They were people who had no promise of comfort in this life. In fact, as we see later in the passage, they were under great hardship and great persecution and great affliction. And yet in the midst of all of that, they trusted in God, they believed in his promises, and they never wavered because they believed to the saving of their souls. God does not promise blessing and prosperity to us in this life, but he does promise strength, as he did with Sarah in the midst of difficulty. He promises his grace and his mercy. He promises his presence for us in times of great difficulty. We see that we too rest on the promises of God, that faith makes us able to receive the benefits of the covenant that God has for us. We are upheld by God's faithfulness. It is not our faith that God blesses. It is not our strength that God blesses, but it's our trust in his faithfulness, for he is the rewarder of those who serve him. As we have the privilege this morning of coming to the table of the Lord, we come to the table reminding ourselves of the great benefits that come to us by faith. We cannot receive those benefits unless we are trusting in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Sarah trusted in Christ. Abraham trusted in Christ. Even before they fully understood it, they died, it says, in faith, not having seen the promises, not having received what God said, but they saw them from afar off. And it says they were persuaded, they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How could Sarah be persuaded of the promises of God? How could Sarah be persuaded of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ for her and for her seed? How could she embrace that? How could she confess that she was a stranger and a pilgrim on earth? She did, because she believed that what God said was true. Do we believe everything that God says? Are we like Sarah? Do we laugh at the promises of God? Do we despise the promises of God? Do we despise that work of faith? I'm afraid there may be some here who will not die in faith. There may be some here who are not resting in faith, who are not resting in the promises of God. And yet if Sarah could be persuaded, if she could embrace them, if she could confess that she was a stranger and a pilgrim, why is it that we are not persuaded, that we have not embraced these promises? Because the book of Hebrews is written to persuade us of these promises, to walk by faith and not by sight, but confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth reminds us that all of us are pilgrims and strangers. that this is not our natural home. This is not our natural city. For they desired a better country. We too desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. Not just some place far beyond where we just live in some existence without pain and suffering or trial, but that heavenly city that we receive even now in measure, that we have the promise of that better country even now. Because as the Apostle Paul reminds us, we are to set our sights where? On things above, not on the things of this earth. We become so earthly minded. We place our trust and our confidence in the things of the world and not in the things of God. And many of you this morning live under great trial. Many of you have many concerns and issues. Perhaps they're health issues. Perhaps they're unsaved family members. Perhaps they're children who have wandered away from the Lord and have fallen in sin. There's so many things that weigh upon us. And yet the Lord God reminds us that we are to set our sights on the things above and not on the things of this world. We are called to live as people of faith, as pilgrims and strangers wandering and journeying through this life to that place that God has prepared for us as His people. The promise that we have is one that God guarantees. It is not a wishful hope. It is not, well, maybe, but it is that promise that God will do what He says He will do. Do we trust Him? Do we look to Him in faith? Are we resting in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we resting in Him alone? I trust this morning that we would examine our own hearts and make certain that we have trusted in the promises of God by faith. Because the promise to Sarah and to Abraham is a promise to us as well. And it's a promise not just to us, but to our children and our children's children, to our covenant children, that these promises are for them as well. So let us rest in what God has said. Let us, as pilgrims and strangers, be reminded that we live in a world that despises us. We live in a foreign land among enemies. And yet God promises the sweet presence of His Spirit in every trial, in every difficulty, leading us on to that reward that still waits us. I trust this morning that like Sarah, we would live by faith and that we would die in faith with that assurance and that hope that the promise of the resurrection is ours as well as it was for Sarah and Abraham. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we offer up our gratitude and our thanksgiving this morning that You love Your own, that You, through that promised seed of Isaac, have guaranteed that the promises of the covenant are ours as well as our children's. Lord, we ask for strength this morning, just as You gave physical strength to Sarah to bear a son in her old age. We ask this morning that You would give us strength to trust in Your promises, to believe all that You say, and even in the midst of affliction and trial and difficulty, that we would love You and follow You with that spirit of a pilgrim looking for something far better, which is promised to those who trust in You by faith. Bless this word to our hearts. Apply its truth to us. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. As we prepare to come to the table of the Lord this morning, let us sing together Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm that speaks of the affliction of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sufferings and the agony. It was all for us and for our benefit that He shared in our humanity. Psalm 22c.